time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning, John. Are you all ready for the snowstorm?
It's National Snow Hype Day here at the Voice of St. Louis.
Did you go and procure your eggs, your bread, your milk?
Buddy, I got stuff.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
Will you be the one
that's... Two trips yesterday.
Ooh, two trips to the store. I've not been yet. Huh. Will you be the one that's preparing the meals during the winter storm?
Highly unlikely.
Will you be the one that's shoveling the snow during the winter storm?
You know, I'm not here to talk about the past, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably pick up a shovel at some point.
Uh-huh. What, and hand it to your wife?
No. We have two shovels at the house.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, it's legendary that we all know that you're not the one that necessarily does the domestic work around the house.
Well, I mean, inside the four walls, I'm killer. You know, I don't like to talk. Last night, for example, the kitchen, spotless. You know, while Georgianne's walking the dog,
right?
I'm cleaning the kitchen.
Well, this storm has been hyped like nothing we've seen in quite some time.
It's been a while.
And from a political standpoint, there are political consequences that come with these types of storms.
You don't say.
Right?
Yeah.
We've seen mayors and governors who've had trouble, even our own Tashara Jones after that 3-week ice debacle that took place. The governor jumped out early, declared a state of emergency.
Yes.
The city's out saying they're doing stuff. St. Louis, St. Charles.
They're going to be treating the roads ahead of time, and this is always a good test.
Yeah, and it's there's some perils here if you're an elected official, all right? I mean, you could really wind up messing up your brand if you don't get this right.
You could, although this is not an icy situation here, as I understand it anyway. It's going to be fluffy snow.
Fluffy snow.
Blowing around in the breeze as the wind is blowing, and the feels-like temperature out there is going to be like, I don't know, 12, 13, 15 below.
Have you heard any predictions on the amount that we're going to get?
Yeah, 3 to 10 inches.
What a deal, right?
I mean, you know, that's good work if you can get it, you know? That's like that's like your financial advisor saying, well, you might be bankrupt or you could be rich.
Hey, you might be Elon Musk. Hey, speaking of banking, you and I both had an experience with our banks today, but more importantly, thieves out there that are trying to defraud
criminals.
People.
Criminals out there.
Share with the people what happened to you.
So, you know, my business partner lives in Jefferson City. And so, you know, I'll occasionally cut him a check, you know, for his draw.
Yeah, your dividends.
And so, you know, decent-sized check, and put it in the mailbox, as I always do. Somebody stole that check. And I don't know if they stole it out of my mailbox at home or whether it was in the postal service somewhere.
Okay.
But some guy gets a hold of that check, and I don't sign his checks, my partner, because he's the signatory.
Right, right.
So the guy goes into the Commerce Bank.
The thief.
Yes, in Ferguson.
All right.
He's defaced the check, and he tries to cash, not deposit it, he tries to cash the check.
Without a signature on the line,
no,
right?
He signed his name. Now, you know, the check was from Hancock and Prouty. And instead of signing...
Bill Jones signed it.
Instead of signing Hancock or Prouty, he signed his own name, and they caught him.
Uh-huh.
And they went into the branch manager's office, and they called the Ferguson police.
Right.
Troy Doyle, the chief of the
Great
Ferguson
dude.
Police. Wonderful guy.
Yeah.
And they arrested this fellow who attempted to abscond with my money.
Good for you.
So yesterday, I delivered... Uh-huh. To the Ferguson branch of Commerce Bank.
All right.
A little platter of finger sandwiches. Quite nice.
Nice.
And a key lime cookie cake with fruit in it.
Dude.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
What a gentleman.
That was a haul up there, man.
Well, it sounds like Hall's that check fair. Could have been a substantive size check if you're willing to go up there and buy lunch and cookies for everybody.
Well, they were very appreciative, the bank people, and nice crowd. And I let the CEO of Commerce Bank know what a good job his people had done.
Well, so you call me, you tell me that story.
Yeah.
Not 15 minutes after we get off the phone, I get a call from my bank.
Yeah.
Caller ID says the name of my bank. I answer it, and the guy says, hey, were you trying to send a wire of your money to this place in Staten Island, New York? And I said, I can't imagine I was, but let me check with the person who handles that.
Right.
We got her on the phone, and we're like, no. He goes, oh, well, This happens all the time. I'm going to send you a security code.
Uh-oh.
Give me that security code, and then I'll be able to write this. And that's when things started seeming fishy,
yeah.
even though the caller ID said the name of my bank,
yes.
et cetera. And we said, hold on, we'll call you back.
Yeah.
So we call the fraud line at our bank. We get our person on, and they're like, man, we don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
That's not the case. And this was like a wire for $80,000. And let me just tell you, the wiring, they were going to be very surprised in that they were going to get nowhere near $80,000 out of my bank. I don't think I've ever had $80,000 in the bank. And so I had the same experience twice. And the same day, you and I dealt with the same thing.
Isn't
people out
something?
There trying to steal money.
Yes. Yeah, so be careful, folks. Be on the alert. You get these all these text messages. I want you to open a link. You know,
right.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
And my bank told me, they said, we will never call you, ask you for any information, any
yep.
code. Always just hang up the phone, call the bank, call your direct banker. Etc. Hey, speaking of ICE and banks, etc., you've been paying attention to what's going on over in Davos. Can we come back and talk about that?
Yeah, a little bit of politics going on out there. We'll be back after this on 104.1 FM KMOX.
So the president of our United States, John, went to Davos, Switzerland for the annual conference that takes place there. He then went about having a speech where he told our allies, including Canada, you live as a result of us. He insulted Denmark. He continues to go after Emmanuel Macron and really tear down the relationships we have in NATO. Let's hypothetically say if we were able to change who our president was and try to stop this stuff that Donald Trump's doing, I think the damage is done.
Oh,
I don't think there's
yeah.
ever any way to put back this alliance. I don't know how these Europeans will ever trust the American allies.
They can't. And we've now proven it, demonstrated it. And the fundamental nature of Western civilization with the United States leadership on the world stage is, I think, irreparably harmed, or harmed for a very long time.
My question is, you know, I see a lot of people on social media, a lot of Republican talking heads that are out there defending this behavior. What gratification do we get from insulting Canada? I don't understand how that's funny, how it's helpful, and why anybody would even find that vaguely entertaining.
So Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada, just made a trade deal with China, and they're going to start importing large numbers of electric vehicles made in China into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct hit on the U.S. car manufacturing
and
industry.
One in particular, correct? A guy named Elon Musk?
Yeah, right. And so, you know, those trade deals are happening, and Western Europe is making trade deals with China. India is going to become a much more significant player on the world stage because of the consuming population and the growing middle class there. And all of these things are unforced errors on the part of the U.S. And it's going to have real implications for our economy going forward.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable to me. Speaking of unbelievable, yesterday morning I come out of my house there in the Central West End.
Yeah.
Two cars drive by. They were white cars. They had all these funky looking things on the rooftop. They're spinning around. They were the Waymos. Have you seen the Waymos?
I haven't seen them in St. Louis.
So no human being. Well, there was a human being in the passenger seat. There was not one in the driver's seat. These cars were driving on their own. And it's kind of freaky when you see it. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is happening. Of course, we've all seen the videos from San Francisco, et cetera.
Yeah.
Have you run into any of these cars being driven by nobody?
Not here. I have in other cities. And, I would take one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume no driver would be better than you driving.
Yes. No question about that. And the other thing is, unlike your Uber driver or your Lyft driver, there's nobody to tip.
Yeah.
So the cost is what the cost is. You don't have to. They don't ask you if you want to send a 10-20% tip. No.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody to tip.
Yeah,
I love it.
You don't have to talk to anybody about their music or how they smell or anything else that's going on inside of those Ubers.
I do predict. That they're going to start equipping these things with AI so that when you get into the car, you can actually have a conversation with no one.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can totally see it. I can totally see it.
It was really freaky to me. So then on the way down here, I noticed there was a flag, an American flag, in one of the neighbor's yards there in the Central West End that was tattered.
Oh.
And it got me to thinking whether or not they're going to replace that flag. And then I was starting to think, well, I'm going to ask the expert as it relates to flags.
Yes.
If one takes a flag down on their own, can they fold it on their own? Doesn't it take two people to properly fold a flag?
Couple things here.
Okay.
First of all, you do not fold a tattered flag.
Okay.
You burn a tattered flag.
Whoa! You're advocating the burning of a flag.
A flag that is no longer proudly displayed because it's tattered is to be destroyed.
And so my neighbor should take that flag down, and this weekend when they're burning some logs in the fireplace, toss that sucker in
there. Yes, yes. So that's one.
Okay.
Two, assuming that a snowstorm is coming, and you've got your flag proudly flying outside your front door there, and you want to bring the flag in, then you should properly fold the flag.
But how do you do that if you're by yourself?
It's called a dining room table.
Oh, I thought the flag couldn't touch the ground.
It can't touch. Well, the table's not the ground. The table's a table.
What's the difference?
Well, because the ground is the ground, and the table is sitting upon the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But properly done, a flag is to be folded by two people, and where you fold it in half lengthwise, and then you fold it in half lengthwise, and then you make a
triangle
paper football.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old paper football?
Yes.
You know, where you slide that sucker across the table, and if it hangs over the edge, that's a touchdown.
Right, right.
And then you kick it the extra point, you know? That's how you fold a flag.
Interesting.
Just like a paper football. And then when you get to the end of the paper football, you tuck in that last little flap. And
this is a hypothetical. You're very knowledgeable on this. The listeners know that you're an Eagle Scout, even though you don't swim.
1979.
You can't really survive in nature.
I got the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge. I have never touched a fish.
Yeah, so I don't know how you're one of these folks. But do you think right now, if a flag came into this room, that you could properly get it folded on the first try?
Yeah, Michael.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, what makes you think that?
Because I know how it's done.
All right.
I mean, you know.
You wouldn't mess up.
No.
Yeah.
I have folded maybe four flags over the course of my life.
Yeah.
All of them executed to perfection.
You are rarely an individual that tries to convince me to do something. But since Christmas, you've spent a lot of time talking to me about your new razor for your face.
Oh, Harry's, buddy.
Your
Harry's
face?
Changed my life, yes.
Well, oh, the razor's called Harry's.
Yeah, Harry's. Yeah, and my daughter got me a Harry's razor for Christmas. Love it.
What's the difference between a Harry's razor and a regular razor?
You know, all I can tell you is I've spent the first, so I've been shaving since I was roughly 17.
Okay.
And so that's a lot of years.
Lucky.
And this is the first razor I've ever had where I don't have to go multiple passes over a particular spot of skin. I can just one pass.
But does it look like a regular razor? Does it vibrate? Is it electronic?
No, it's got the swivel top, you know, and it's got five blades in that sucker.
Uh-huh.
And the cream, the Harry's cream.
Yeah.
The smell of this stuff is glorious.
Right.
I mean, you put that stuff on in the morning there, and you're sniffing, and it's wonderful. And then you one pass, done.
What a lucky dude. Now, speaking of smells, I've started a facial routine as we get older. I'm like, okay, I'll start to put some of these serums and stuff on my face.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I got expensive little serums that some friend of mine put together and said, hey, this will be good for your face, etc.
Huh.
I cannot stand the smell of these serums on my face. Now, they don't have any smell when you smell them in the little bottle that they
have. Once they hit your skin, it smells like...
But on my face, like right now, it doesn't smell bad. It smells a little chemically. But it doesn't smell bad, and it just got me to realizing what women in particular go through for us, because I'm 2 weeks into this, and I can't stand the smell of it, and I don't
think
know
you
that I'm
give
getting
it
better looking.
That's okay. Michael Kelly. Chris and Amy are next right here on Cable X.